السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر الله أكبر
لا إله إلا الله
أهلا يا ربي الحمد لله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده رسوله. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we seek His guidance and His blessings and His mercy. And we bear witness there is nothing in this universe worthy of serving, of bowing to, of submitting to, of obeying except for Allah. And I bear witness the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his last and his final messenger. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullaha haqqa tuqatihi wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O you who believe, be mindful of Allah and be conscious of Allah and be in awe of Allah in a way that Allah has a right that we be in awe of Him and do not allow yourself to leave this life unless you leave in a state of submission. In the state of Islam, wa ba'd. My dearest brothers and sisters, we all value things in this life that are robust, that are high quality, that are able to withstand the unpredictable or unexpected in life. So before we make any purchase in life, even if it's something that's small and maybe insignificant, or something which is of course much larger, we try to purchase things that we believe will withstand whatever abuse that they might go through in life. We want to make sure something's not going to break right after I buy it. And so when we purchase our vehicles, you buy a car, and in your mind and in your heart, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you of ever getting into an accident. But we make sure that our vehicles have airbags, shocks, other mechanisms to protect us and the vehicle from anything that might happen to it. In other words, whatever is unexpected to happen. And our homes are the same way. We ask Allah to protect us from ever having our homes exposed to disasters. Say ameen. But we know that it's possible. So we make sure that our homes, of course, if they're in California, they have some level of earthquake protection, the way it's built, with a certain foundation, with flexible wooden frames. Because if it happens one day, we would like to be protected from that. And this underscores a principle of life that the human being typically operates under, which is that we always wish for the best in life, but we plan for the worst. And so we do things like having rainy day accounts, rainy day savings, in case something unexpected happens, I can dip into that fund. And like I mentioned, having things with some protections behind them. And this principle, which everyone here probably operates under on a normal basis, I want us to think about whether we apply this same logic. This same principle when it comes to how we raise our children. Do we raise our children with the expectation that everything is going to be amazing for them and they're never going to have any difficulty? Or do we raise our children knowing that, you know what? They might have challenges in life. So I need to wish for the best for my children, but raise them in a way that if something less than the ideal happens, they're able to stand up from it. And I deeply believe from what we are seeing, you know, but with the data and the communities and the way that children are being raised in the society, that many times parents in today's culture, they wish for the best and they plan for the best. And this completely goes against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the nature of this life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that this life will be full of all kinds of challenges and stressors and difficulties for me, for you, and your children. None of us will be immune. Rich, poor, black, white, live in America, live somewhere else. It doesn't matter. حَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَيُّتْرَكُوا أَيَّقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people think they'll be left to say that we believe and they'll not be tested? وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّا الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Indeed, we have tested those who came before. And Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَلَنَبَلُوَنَّهُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. Allah says that, and surely we will test people in all kinds of ways. Either you might lose money, you might lose your home, you might lose someone that you love, you might have times of fear in your life. There always will be challenges. No human being in the aqidah of a Muslim, we cannot have the belief as a parent that I am capable of protecting my child from the challenges of life. It is impossible. My aqidah, my belief is that surely my children will be tested in life just like I will be tested in life. So I might as well get wise and prepare them for these tests in life. Now, we can see actually one of the things that people talk about a lot is we talk a lot about tests and challenges. And we say people will be tested, people will be tested. But still the human being wants to avert these tests. So we try our best to avoid them ever hitting us. And perhaps we might need another perspective today. A perspective that says that stressors and difficulties and challenges in life are not to be avoided, but they're actually to be embraced as a means of making us stronger and to make us grow. So the stressors and challenges of life are intended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our growth and our maturity. And if you look in the world, وَفِي الْأَرْضِ آيَاتٌ لِلْمُقِينَ وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ. Allah has given us signs in the natural world and in ourselves. If I take the example from the natural world, the largest trees in the world that live here in California, central California, the giant redwoods or the sequoia trees, the giant sequoia trees, the largest tree in the world cannot grow unless a fire actually happens to pass through the forest. Because those pine cones that are this big, that have seeds that are the size of an oatmeal grain, have to be exposed to fire before the pine cone can open up and that seed can actually grow. So no fire, no trees. Or you look within yourself. If someone wanted to become physically fit and wanted to go and exercise, what do you have to do in order to grow physically? If you want to grow your muscles, you actually have to put them under stress. You have to put them under tension. You have to put them under actually duress. You literally push weight and you begin to tear your muscle fibers so that they actually can grow larger. If someone said, I want to be healthy. I want my kid to be healthy. But you know, if he goes and he lifts weights or he exercises, he might get hurt. Let me just have him sit on the couch all day long. Comfortable couch. He'll never get hurt. Yes, he may not get the injury that you might get in some other activity, but actually his muscles will get weaker and weaker over time from inactivity. So we know that the human being has to go through physically some sort of a stressor in order for that person to grow. And the same actually applies to us spiritually, intellectually, in all other domains of life. And to give a metaphor for how we can even think about our children, that imagine your child, or think about a flame. You have a little flame that you have lit. Now, one of two things can happen if there's a flame that has been lit. Either the wind can come and it can knock out your flame, or the wind can come and it can make your flame grow large. If anyone has been camping or done a barbecue at home, you know this. You have to say, I'm going to light this fire, and I got to hope that the wind hits it at the right angle, at the right speed, to make the fire grow. Now imagine your child is like this flame. How many parents say, nothing will ever touch my baby? I don't want them to roughhouse. I don't want them to go play in the mud. I don't want them to be challenged in any way physically or intellectually. They will always be that little baby flame who actually will get smaller and smaller. But if we're willing to expose them strategically, under the right conditions, to stressors and difficulties in life, then they can actually grow in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has intended for them to grow. So in the khutbah, we have two principles I'd like to speak about today. Two principles that are grounded in the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and in the Quran, which is how we can raise our children to be resilient, to purposely expose them to the types of challenges that they need so they can grow to their full potential spiritually, intellectually, and even physically. Principle number one is raising our children to become psychologically and intellectually comfortable with unpredictability, with ambiguity in life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us this in the worldly sense. In Surah Luqman, He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثَ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. Think about all the things a human being wished he knew in this world. All the most important things that we crave certainty in, Allah tells us you will not have certainty in it. Indeed, Allah alone knows when the day of judgment is going to be. He knows what the weather is going to be and when the rain is going to fall. He knows what's in the wombs. When a mother gets pregnant, the first thing that the parents want to know, is this a boy? Is this a girl? What's going to happen to them? What life will they live? Will they be a believer or not? Will they be rich or not? Will they be healthy or not? Allah says, you will not know these things. How much money you're going to make? Modern society has made us people who crave this predictability. We want our paycheck at Friday at 5 p.m. so we know this money goes to rent, this money goes for my electricity, this money goes for my child's tuition, because everything we like to have it organized and predictable. And Allah reminded all of us here, especially during the pandemic a few years ago, that you think that life is predictable. You think your investments are growing every day. Your income seems predictable for the last how many years? Have a taste of unpredictability in your income. And of course, as Allah says, and no one knows where they're going to die. So all these things that we wish for, Allah is trying to tell us, oh human being, stop demanding predictability in everything in your life. It is impossible. Only Allah is in control of this universe. And if you cannot accept that unpredictability, then you're going to be a wreck mentally and spiritually as well. This is what we have rida in the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, it's one thing to have it in the general aspects of the world. Okay, I'm okay accepting I don't know how much money I'm going to make. I'm not sure about, you know, the weather. But what about in religion? Also in religious affairs, sometimes we raise our children that everything is so perfect and organized and black and white. And this is actually very far from the truth. Islam is perfect. The Quran is perfect. The Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is perfect, but it doesn't mean that it is completely predictable and easy to understand. There actually is a level of unexpectedness or ambiguity in the scripture and in the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a reason. So Allah told us about this in Surah Ali Imran. And it really is a principle for how to approach your faith. Because many people today, they can't deal with any religious idea that doesn't fit into a worldview they have created, they start to have panic. Well, I don't know. I don't know what do I do? This hadith, I don't understand it. This ayah, I don't understand it. Maybe Islam is not true. And this goes back to misunderstanding the revelation. Allah says in Surah Ali Imran, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ. So Allah tells us in Surah Ali Imran, there's two types of ayat. He says, He is the one who has revealed the book to you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And from the verses of the Quran, there are two types. There are verses that are muhkamat, that are clear cut, straightforward, easily interpretable. Hunna umul kitab. And that makes up the bulk of the Quran. And if you read the Quran, anybody, no matter how educated they are, They can make sense out of the core message of the Quran. The themes, the principles, the aqidah is not convoluted or complicated. But the Quran is also not a book that's just so simple that there's no depth to it. The depth in it often comes out in ayat that Allah says are mutashabihat. وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٍ. Verses that have some level of ambiguity in them. Some level of difficulty in deriving the essence of what the ayah is trying to get at. And those who have studied a little bit of Islam know that. Right? That we have this in our books of fiqh and usul. All over, there's ways to interpret these ayat. Right? So Allah tells us that there's some people who cannot accept this ambiguity. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ بَطِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَبَطِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِهِ وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلٌّ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُ إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Whereas Allah is telling us there's a certain attitude you should have and you shouldn't have. Allah says those people in whose hearts is a deviation, they obsess over the small parts of the Quran that are difficult to interpret. And they're always looking for some interpretation that satisfies, right, what they're trying to get out of this uncertainty. Whereas Allah says, the believer, Allah says, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. There are secrets in the Quran that very few people, if anybody, will ever uncover. As Allah says, and no one knows its interpretation except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who are firm in knowledge say what? We believe in all of this, it is from Allah. So this gives us a blueprint that if you approach a subject like mathematics, those here who have went to college or in high school, and you study advanced, you take a calculus class, you will encounter problems that you don't understand. You will encounter a theory that you can't fully grasp, or chemistry or biology. Yet when we encounter the human sciences, and we see something in it we don't understand, we don't say, well, I don't understand this theory. Maybe all of math is wrong. Maybe all of chemistry and biology is wrong. No, we say, you know what? I don't understand this. Right? I'm humble enough to say there's something in math or science I don't understand. Yet oddly, when it comes to religion, what we often see, especially with the youth of this generation, is a second they see an ayah or a hadith or a fiqh opinion or something about religion that doesn't make complete sense to them immediately, they say, I don't know if Islam is the truth anymore. This spiritual fragility, lack of resiliency, to say, can I be humble enough to say, I'm a young man or a woman, and this verse doesn't make sense to me, but it's because I'm young and I haven't developed that knowledge. Maybe through time and study and the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will have more insight into this. And maybe I never will, because some of this knowledge is reserved for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the intellectual humility a believer has to have when approaching the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is principle number one that we can talk about for hours. But teach your children that Islam is perfect, the Quran is perfect, but our interpretation will not always be there because we are limited in our intellect, we're limited in our spiritual awareness. And to approach these things with a level of humility that we ask Allah to give us the understanding, but we're humble until we get there. And if we never get there, we still know all of this is from Allah and all of it is the truth. Second part of the khutbah will speak about principle number two. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ لَغْفُورُ رَحِيمٌ التَّائِبُ ذَنْبِي كَمَا لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ فَدَعُ اللَّهَ. The one who repents from his sins, like the one who is sinless, so ask Allah to forgive us of all of our shortcomings and our mistakes. الحمد لله وكفى وصلاة وسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن ولا هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا. My dearest brothers and sisters, we are speaking about raising resilient children and the necessity of them being exposed to intellectually challenging content, religiously challenging content, psychologically exposing yourself to stressors in life, because we need these to grow and mature. It is a sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Principle number two is raising our children to be physically comfortable with discomfort. raising our children to be physically comfortable with discomfort. And this is also important because it ties back to the premise of, is this life always going to be easy for us? And for many of us who have children, we do our best. We came from the other side of the world to get away from the challenges of the world there. And we brought our family here. We established a family. We became a little bit successful. We were able to give them a better life than we had. And we sometimes spoil them to an extent that we actually weaken them. And so the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and his companions, this was a frequent conversation amongst them as well. There are numerous hadith where the Prophet understood the importance, because one day, if something is difficult, are you going to fall apart? Or will you be able to stand up to it? Right before the khutbah, I was speaking to Dr. Muzammil, and we were talking about our studies. He was mentioning to me back in Medina when he studied, right, think about no air conditioning in the daytime. Think about turning on the water faucet and the water is practically over 100 degrees. This is the reality that many people live in the pursuit of knowledge, in the pursuit of anything. And if today, you know, if something goes wrong, if the air conditioning stops working, then everybody just stops. My life cannot go on, right? If the water is not very cold, right, we start freaking out, right? This goes back to the fragility. And the companions one day of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they were talking amongst themselves like we talk amongst ourselves. And they started to talk about the dunya. It's like, oh, you know, I wish I could have that. Or, you know, I wish I had this nice possession. And the Prophet was listening to them talk about seeking comfort in life. And he said to them, Ala tasma'un, innal badadata min al iman. He said, have you not heard that actually having rough things in life is part of faith? In other words, having simplicity and things in life that are not the highest quality is from faith. Another time, he was speaking to his companions and he told them, again, he said, Iyaka wa tana'um. He goes, I warn you from seeking excessive luxury. فَإِنَّ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ لَيْسُ بِالْمُتَنَعِيمِينَ For indeed, the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not perpetually seek luxury. The Prophet, he understood this. He understood what happens to children who are always given the best of the best constantly. If they only will eat the highest quality food, they will only wear the highest quality clothes, they will only frequent places where everything is just right, that this is going to lead to a weak believer. What will happen when perfection is not there? What happens then if the perfect food is not being served? What will happen if something is not the way they expect it? And this is why the Prophet was attributed to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Umar ibn Khattab. He said, "Ikhshawshanu fa inna ni'ma la tadum." He said, rough it, for indeed good times will not last forever. We don't know if one day, today we're rich, we don't know what will happen to us tomorrow. We don't know if our sons and our daughters, what families are going to marry into, what challenges they may face, what cities or countries they may end up in. And if we raise them to say, you are going to live a life of luxury, you will marry into luxury, you will have a good job, you will never have to worry about anything, then we are setting them up for failure, because that is impossible. There will be challenges without a doubt. And so the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encouraged the companions to not always seek the best of the best. It didn't mean that you're always living like you have nothing, but once in a while, habituate yourself that I can deal with less than the optimal. Does the AC every day have to be set at a perfect temperature? Does the heater always have to be at the perfect temperature? Does the food have to be exactly like this and exactly like that? Or is it okay sometimes say, you know what, we're going to turn off the AC today. Learn to deal with the heat. Learn to deal with the cold. I'm going to take you outdoors. We're going to go camping. It might be cold at night. There might be noise at night. It might be hot. It might rain. Deal with whatever life throws at you. Put your kids into activities that give them the ability to function under stress. Put them in martial arts. Let them get punched. Let them get kicked. Let them get choked in a healthy, safe setting. So if ever in life they're in a difficult situation, they say, I can deal with this. I've been through this. My parents prepared me for this. But we put them on silk carpets all day long. And then when anything happens, then we wonder, why are my children not able to thrive? Or why am I unable to thrive? This is why the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he gave that example, that the believer is like that tender plant, right? When the wind blows that tender plant, right? It blows left and right, but when the wind stops, it's still firm. He's resilient. She is resilient to anything that hits them, physically, spiritually, intellectually. Whereas the disbeliever is the opposite. They stand really, really firm, and then when something hits them, they come crashing to the ground, right? That is the fragility, right, with kufr. Right? I will end my khutbah by us reflecting over the situation in Gaza, because it ties in very well to what we're dealing with today. We have two opposite examples in our world. We have an example in the modern culture, especially with Muslims in the West, of perpetual luxury and always seeking the best and never being happy with less than the best. I remember, subhanAllah, I think it was last Ramadan, and a couple times it happens where the air conditioning doesn't work in the masjid. It's tarawih. And what happens? Within a few minutes, people, I'm not going to come here for tarawih. I cannot pray here. They start telling the board members, I can't. One day where the temperature wasn't perfect and the ibadah falls apart, right? And you compare yourself to happening in Gaza. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them victory. Those who are aware, right? Gaza has been bombed. Many young children have been killed by the terrorist regime. But we look at them not with pity. I don't look at them with pity. Wallahi, I don't. These are exemplars of resiliency. These are people who have been through so much, who their parents have raised them to expect challenges in life. That rather than crumbling when a bomb drops over them or a war is being waged upon them, they consistently stand strong. They consistently stand up. When a child is killed, the neighborhood and the mother, no one wants to lose their child, but they celebrate a martyrdom. They say, Allahu Akbar, and they're celebrating that my child is going to paradise. Of course, no one wishes for their kid to die. But this is the resiliency in a people who Allah has blessed with this trait. Let us look to them. Next time we're thinking about complaining about something in life that's not perfect, to say, let's see what other Muslims, how they deal with these difficulties in life. And there are exemplars. Wallahi, there are exemplars. Their iman is more secure despite their circumstances being so much worse than ours. Yet in our societies, the iman is so fragile despite the fact everything has been given. And let us reflect over that when we raise our kids. Our goal is to have spiritually resilient children. Their test in life, at least at this point, is not physical resiliency to the same extent as the children of Gaza. But at least prepare them for all these potential stressors. Because this is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is the advice and the methodology of the Quran to say you will not know tomorrow. You will not understand everything. Be comfortable with that. Because that is how you live every single day and grow from every single day. The prophets of Allah, Musa alayhi salam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam, all of them, Allah dragged his beloved messengers through all of these challenges. He didn't say, I love these messengers, so I'm going to give them luxury. He pulled Musa out of the palace, made him flee as a refugee to Midian, live 10 plus years there doing manual labor every single day. Why? Because he could not lead Bani Israel to victory over Fir'aun if he was the son of the of living in the palace. Too much luxury. How do you deal with difficulty? You cannot. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did Allah do? He took him. He was from the elite of Quraysh. He was an orphan who had to go through all kinds of challenges in order to be able to lead his people. This is the sunnah of Allah. Those he loves, he will give them these tests, these stressors, because he wants them to grow. Embrace these stressors. Raise your children to be resilient, and inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them success in this life and inshallah in the next life. Allahumma hadina fi man hadayt, wa afina fi man afayt, wa tawallana fi man tawallayt, wa barik lana fi ma a'tayt, innaka taqdi bil haqqi subhanak wa la qada alayk, wa laka shukrana bima a'tayt, nastaghfiruka Allahumma min jami'i dhunubi al-khataya wa natubu ilayk. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma innaka antal wahhab. اللهم ألف بين قلوبنا اللهم وحد صفوفنا اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم مكن لدينك في الأرض وافتح له قلوب الناس. Allah, we ask you to give us iman. We ask you to make it firm in our hearts. Allah, we ask you to make us resilient. We ask you to give us resilient children. Allah, we ask you to give victory to the Muslims who are being oppressed all over the world. Allah, we ask you to give them victory in Gaza. Allah, we ask you to give them strength and resiliency to overcome their enemies. We ask you to allow us to be in their aid. We ask you, Allah, to allow us to learn from them. And oh Allah, the way you've gathered us here today, we ask you to gather us in the highest gardens of paradise with the martyrs and with the righteous and the prophets. وَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنكَرِ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا لا استوت الرأس ويرحمكم الله. Please keep your lines straight, keep your hearts focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please remember the oppressed in your dua. الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إن الله عنده علم الساعة وينزل الغيث ويعلم ما في الأرحام وما تدري نفس ماذا تكسب غدا وما تدري نفس بأي أرض تموت إن الله عليم خبير. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي العظيم سبحان ربي العظيم Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Thank Dr. Usman Umarji for his message. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the strength and the resilience and sabat and istiqamah in our life. We pray for the health of Brother Muhammad Rafi, Brother Haisam Bundaqsi, Brother Bilal Dalati, Sister Rima Dalati, Brother Muhammad Sadiq Khwanda, Sister Fatima, Sister Mubina, Sister Nasrisha, Ayub family and Kamal family, Sister Nuzat Ashfaq, Brother Asim Al-Ikzoi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them with shifa. Allahumma shfihim ya Allah. Allahumma shfihim ya Allah. Allahumma shfih mardana ya Allah. Allahumma shfih tashafi la shafiya illa anta shifa an la yugadiru suqma. Make dua maghfirah for Brother Muhammad Mahmood Saad and Brother Abdul Jabbar Muhammad Darabuad. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them maghfirah, give them the place in Jannah. And we'll be praying Salatul Janaza for our brother Ishaq Khan Bhatti. Our condolences to his wife, Sister Wasima, children, relatives, and friends. Their burial will be in the Green Hills in Palos Verdes tomorrow at 3:30 p.m., inshallah. So please, immediate family members, 2-3 brothers, can come in the front area, and we'll have Salatul Janaza now. May Allah bless you and give you patience, inshallah. Azam Allahu ajrakum. Please make a straight lines. That line, stand towards the Qibla. One more. Just a reminder, Salatul Janaza has 4 takbirat. At the first takbir, raise your hand, hold them, and recite Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik or Suratul Fatiha. And then second takbir, after that you recite Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, Allahumma barik ala Muhammad. And then third takbir, after that special dua for the maghfirah. Allahumma qfili hayyina wa mayyitina, or Allahumma qfili hu arham. And we ask, and then fourth takbir and salam on both sides. So turn your attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking forgiveness for the person who passed away and for all of us. Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر اللهم صل على محمد الله أكبر اللهم اغفر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله اللهم اغفر له يا الله اللهم اغفر له وارحمه وعافه وعفو عنه اللهم اكرم نزله ووسع مدخله اللهم اغسل خطاياه بالماء والثلج والبرد اللهم جازه بالإحسان إحسانا بالسيئات عفوا منك وغفرانا اللهم صبر أهله يا الله اللهم اجعل قبره روضة من رياض الجنة ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه وأتباعه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين May Allah bless you, may Allah give you patience, inshallah. أعظم الله أجركم وأحسن عزاءكم. Please, for a few minutes so that people can finish their sunnah and then after that you can help in taking the body into the car, inshallah. Barakallahu fikum. May Allah bless you. May Allah bless you. Barakallahu. Thank you. Shukran. Shukran. Jazakallah.